Well, I have been traveling. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know that I did a quick little trip to Michigan, which really turned out to be the greatest thing ever. And it's in Wisconsin, up at the lake. And so, it being Sunday night, I have some more podcasts to do before the end of the month, and we're back in kind of a news-rich environment. And I have some observations and stuff I want to talk about as I kind of walk around here at the lake. So I've just made some coffee, and I'm going to pour myself a cup of coffee. And then I'm going to go out and got a little fire out here in the yard. We're a little ways up from the lake, but I'm going to walk down to the lake and then walk back and just sit here and sit by the fire at various points. And we're going to talk a little bit about stuff going on in podcast 948, Midnight Lake Walk and Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, they call Minnesota the land of 10,000 lakes. Of course, I'm in Wisconsin, and there's probably just as many lakes over here. Maybe not quite as many, but certainly in western Wisconsin, there are quite a lot of lakes. And just to give you the lay of the land, this lake that I'm on is something like 5, 6, 7 miles long. I don't even think it's that long. Pretty wide. It's not one of the bigger lakes, but it's also not one of the smaller lakes in western Wisconsin, Polk County, Wisconsin. I've been coming to this lake for a long time, 20 years, 30 years, something like that. And so I've seen it change a lot, and it's just, I don't come here that much. You know, I used to come here just about every weekend back in the day, especially when my son was young. And he, and I, you know, you've heard, if you've been listening to the podcast, you've heard that when I did the podcast about the New York refugees, that was here. And those were my nephew and his girlfriend and my other nephew and his wife and my son. And now one couple has gone back to New York City, and Andrew won't have to go back until July of 2021. So that's very interesting. So he's up, and I come up a little bit more often to see him, or he comes into town. And it's great to be up here, especially after a fabulous, just an incredible, almost a week driving through the Upper Peninsula and down the west coast of Michigan. And that podcast is podcast 947. I'll put links up. But in this podcast, kind of a walk and talk. I don't want to walk around too much, but I'm going to go down to the lake and walk back. And I just want to set the stage for you. It is pitch black. So I do have a flashlight, which you're going to hear clicking on and off occasionally. But it is, even though we have starlight, it is really dark. And of course, we spend so much time on our cell phones these days that we don't have very much night vision. So you have to really work on the night vision. So I'm going to be walking around here. Got a little fire going, as I said, and I'll leave the fire, grab the flashlight, and then walk a good half mile down to the lake, and then we'll walk back. But I want you to understand, as I'm walking, it's absolutely, you know, dark. There's no moonlight. There's nothing to illuminate the path. And I'm in my bare feet, as I always am. And there's all these acorns now that are dropping off the trees. And of course, if you step on those, it's not very pleasant. So I'm just kind of feeling my way as I kind of drag my feet on the ground to avoid stepping on acorns. People say, for God's sake, you know, why don't you wear shoes? Well, I can't bring myself to wear shoes in the weather that we're having, which has been the subject of the podcast almost all summer. So we're going to talk about all that. We are in between the two conventions. The Republican convention starts next week. We've just had the Democrat convention, which are wholly unconventional political conventions. We'll talk about that. And I want to talk a little bit about polling and whatever else comes into my mind in this Midnight Lakefront Walk and Talk podcast. Podcast 948, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Hey, I got to get a shout out before I even start this podcast for the guys at 36 and Lynn, the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36 and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood. in Minneapolis, been driving by there and going there for years and years and years. Not only are the guys at 36 and Lynn Refueling out to help the community, because they do, they feature a great selection of locally sourced products in the store, as well as great coffee and awesome food to go. Remember 36 and Lynn next time you swing through Minneapolis and need gas or a cup of coffee. Here's the thing. This is an independently owned and operated fueling station, which means you can get a better deal on gas if you're in Minneapolis. So for more info and great 36 Lynn events, check them out online at 36lyn36lyn.com, or you can click on their awesome banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Now, you guys have heard me talking about the newsletter, really pushing the newsletter on a recent podcast, because I want to get people subscribed to the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, because I'm going to be doing some things with it that I think you're going to want to be part of. So to sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, you go on to the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, you look to the right, and you're going to see sign up for the Bob line. You enter your name and your email. You're going to get an email that's a spam thing, just to make sure that you want to get the newsletter. You say yes, and you're good to go. If you're on a mobile device, you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, and you'll see the same window. So that's how you sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter. More about that later. This has been an incredible summer. Yesterday we had these storms and the cloud formations at sunset were incredible. And then it rained a little bit, and then it passed, and it got clear, and it was just, then it got warm again. For a minute there, it was cold, and then it got warm again, and it's just great amounts of rainfall. We're up here, and the corn is high. Now, I've talked about the dumbest question in politics, which is who's going to win, and now it's into, well, did you watch the Democratic convention? No, I didn't. First of all, I want to talk about the conventions a little bit. So the whole idea of political conventions back in the day was, I'm summarizing this, but I'm just going to say this based on what I've read in history, and I'm doing a walk and talk, so I don't have time to Google it or to research it. But my sense is that the conventions going back to the formation of the political party and the first conventions, and I really don't know when that was, with the advent of conventions where they nominated a candidate, my sense is that political parties and the country had gotten big enough that they needed to get together in one place to kind of get everybody on the same page. So the conventions had real work in terms of trying to decide who the nominees were going to be. My sense is that conventions were more deliberative in nature. I don't think conventions have been deliberative for either party for a long time. I would say since the 70s, they have been coronations, essentially, where the fix is in, everybody's already decided, we've counted the votes, and this guy's going to be the candidate, because we don't want to leave anything to chance. And increasingly, conventions, despite all of the reporters being on the floor with their headphones and their portable cameras and everything when that first started, and all these developments of the newsrooms in New York reporting live on the, incredible developments of the conventions, and people would watch. You know, I remember those hot, August nights when I was growing up, and, my mom would say, oh, the convention's on, you guys should come home early and, go watch the convention or something to that effect. I think over the years, especially most recently, the conventions weren't even allowed to do their work. I saw that in 2016 when a backroom deal, in my opinion, basically put Trump in control of enough delegates that really was a coronation. To today, where we are now in a position where we had virtual conventions. And in the second half of this podcast, as I'm heading down to the lake here, I will talk about what I think is the import and the impact and what's going on with the conventions. Because people ask me all weekend, hey, have you watched the Democrat convention? And I put that in quotes. What do you think? Well, I'm not going to tell you what I think of the convention per se. I'm going to give you some things to think about, maybe ask some questions, but those kinds of questions, they don't really irritate me, but I don't think it's the right question. And it's natural that people would ask that. Have you watched this, you know, convention? So we'll talk about that in the second half of this podcast. So a lot of times, because I'm in business for myself, obviously, I talk to people in business for themselves. And the first question I would ask is, do you have a good business attorney? And that is specifically, do you have an attorney that is strategically focused? Because the thing about business is, we think day to day, especially as a business owner, you're constantly dealing with things and you're dealing day to day. You need someone that can help you think strategically. And maybe you are one step ahead. Maybe if you have a current lawyer, that person is one step or three steps ahead. But the truth is today, that might just not be enough. So when it comes to attorneys who are focused strategically, let me introduce you to Nathan Nelson at Virtus Law. When it comes to things like management service agreements, of course, succession for family-owned businesses, estate planning, partnerships, and of course, asset protection, debt issues, income tax planning. What you need is a strategic planner. Especially, this came through when we talked about all of the things that the government was doing with the EIDL loans and Corona. And there's a podcast actually with Nathan and our friend Todd Rooker talking about the strategy. And I'm wondering how many attorneys actually thought about that stuff. And for the strategy, you need Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law. Let's be honest, most lawyers really don't give you strategic advice. Now, they might do whatever you want, but if you are the owner of a growing business or you have a little more on the ball, you might be frustrated with not getting strategic advice from your current lawyer. You want to look at long-term planning and not short-term transactions, and that is what Nathan W. Nelson, one of the co-founders of Virtus Law, does. Full legal services, strategic planning, and more importantly, with fees struck reasonably, call Nathan Nelson at Virtus Law, 612-888-1000. That's 612-888-1000. Virtus Law serves small businesses and their owners. Virtus Law online, they have an excellent client interface where you can explain your needs and get a good idea of the legal services they provide, or you can click on the Virtus Law banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. That's V-I-R-T-U-S, Virtus Law. Now, maybe, Virtus Law would be interested in a case of people who hate their printers, but you don't need to go that far. You don't need to go to the legal services for that. You just need Cartridge World in Maple Grove, serving the entire state of Minnesota. And if you're real quiet, I'll tell you the universe at 763-420-6632. What do they do? Cartridge World gets you 30% off of those extremely expensive store-bought cartridges for your printer. Free delivery and qualifying orders. They can even get you a printer if you qualify, and they do great business service. I can vouch for that. Cartridge World, 763-420-6632, or click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. So this year, because of coronavirus, neither convention. I don't know what the Republicans are going to do, because I'm just not paying attention to it. But I know what the Democrats did, and I would imagine that the Republicans will have some number. They'll probably have some semblance of more crowds. But for the most part, you will see a lot of prepackaged statements from important people to the Republican Party, and you will see them pre-produce this piece of work that we call the convention. I don't think that you have people in back rooms fighting over, you know, campaign planks. I don't see that. I see pre-produced, three-day pre-produced commercials for both parties. And while we've certainly in the last few cycles seen the development of this, we are now full on into a situation where what we have is a synthesis of an actual convention. It's just simply a three-day ad. What I find amusing is that the media continues to cover these things as though they're actually convention. They are actually covering television commercials that the political parties are putting on to push their guy, whoever that guy is, whether it's the Democrats, the Republicans. But I think the real value of it is that these pieces, so these speeches by former president or speeches by a former secretary of state or a congressman or whatever are then disseminated all over what we would refer to as the new media channels, which are now the kings, where if you want to watch Joe Biden's speech, for example, you can watch it at any time of the day or night. If you want to watch President Obama's speech, you can watch it at any time of the day or night. If you want to watch, you know, Ocasio-Cortez's thing, you can do that. You don't have to have someone tell you what they said. You don't have to read any reporting. So the effect of it is that they've got all these miniature television commercials, which are 5, 6, 7 minutes in length, or in the case of a long speech, 12, 15, 20 minutes, that they can disseminate and people can watch. And so they really are in control of the story, from the sense that I haven't even seen one analysis report of what they did at the Democratic convention. So you're free to draw your own conclusions. And I believe that the Republican convention will be the same. And I think what they're doing is preaching to the choir. So I'm going to give you some anecdotal data very quickly about what I saw on my trip, and I was a little surprised. So I don't have a position one way or the other as far as whether the president is reelected or we have a new administration, and it's Joe Biden. I know there's people out there that are like, oh my God, how can you feel that way? Or people on the Democrat side, like, you know, how come you need to step up and support if you're going to believe in this person? I just, you know, I will tell you that my position is, and I don't say this because I'm trying to be all down with the whole, it doesn't work anymore, it's the system is rigged or anything else. I say it because what I'm seeing from both political parties so far just isn't what I need to see to come to a conclusion that either political party really has what it takes to take the country forward or to make politics relevant. I think politics largely has made itself irrelevant. And I'm talking about congressmen and city council members and everyone else, until there's a disaster and then people are like, what did they do? So you don't think about them until there's a problem, and then we look for a scapegoat and it's the mayor, or it's an idiot that said this, or it's somebody who should be fired, or it's the latest crazy thing from so-and-so. I think in general, it's just irrelevant. It's not even silly. It's not even comedy. It's not even drama. It's just silliness. And I don't see either candidate or either party with the kind of leadership capabilities either way to really solve any real problems. And when I talk about problems, I'm talking about new thinking. I'm talking about issues about economics. I'm talking about issues about foreign policy and foreign trade. I'm talking about, you know, how we handle all these many problems that we have, regardless of the coronavirus problem. That's a huge problem, but there's other things going on. So I don't see anyone. And I just want everyone to understand, editorially, that's where I'm coming from, because I just don't see anything and haven't seen anything that I would say that I'm going to say something like, that's it. That's it right there. That's it. So when I sit out on the dock or something like that in the quiet night and I think about politics, it isn't really about either political candidate. So that's important, and it's an important disclaimer for anybody commentating to have. But it puts me in a great position because I don't feel, you know, as though I have to defend or attack either side. Okay? I really, it's not even a question of being agnostic. It's a question of just being, you know, to the point where I just don't see either political party or either political side, whatever side that is, as having anything relevant to say. I think things are going to happen. I think we're going to follow a course, and we're going to end up somewhere, good or bad, and I don't think it has much to do with these guys do. Yeah, I think, you know, obviously we've seen what happens when somebody is president that maybe doesn't have a full grasp of what's going on. Sorry, but it's true. You know, we've seen what happens when mayors and city councils and so forth make terrible decisions. We've certainly seen that very clearly this summer. So we have plenty of examples of what happens when they make mistakes. But I think in general, they've made themselves irrelevant, which brings me to my point about the conventions and what I saw on my trip. So my trip carried me from Minneapolis and St. Paul, which is a Democratic Party stronghold. My trip carried me across, straight up into Minnesota's 6th District, which is Republican. It took me up to Malacca and Mora, which is very much, rural and working class place, still in the 6th District. And then came right across into Wisconsin, and then I angled northeast into the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. Now, I did that podcast about the working class history of Michigan and northern Wisconsin and really northern Minnesota as well, because I wanted people to understand that the history of that region has largely been Union and Democrat for many, 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 many years, eons, in dog years. Let's just put it that way. And I was actually more surprised this time when I was in 2016, when I went to the Republican convention at Cleveland, and I drove right through there in 2016 and then proceeded to head down to Florida. And so I went across the Upper Peninsula, but that time I went down the Huron side, so the east side of the state, and came down through Detroit. And I'm pretty sure that year I went a big circle down to the Keys, up through Florida, across the Redneck Riviera down there by Mobile, down through Texas, New Orleans, came back up through Louisiana, and then went to Los Angeles. And I did not see a Hillary Clinton sign until I got to, like, Los Angeles, not just, California. I didn't see a Hillary. I saw maybe a couple of Hillary Clinton signs when I was in New Mexico, right? And maybe Arizona. Didn't see. And then coming back, I went back northern and came through the northern part of the western state. So I went all the way up, and I think I came across somewhere in Washington or Oregon, and then on through Wyoming and so forth, and then came back around down into Minneapolis from there. And I saw a ton of Trump signs. And so I was one of the first people to say, Trump can win. That was all I said. Trump can win. So when I went through that region this year, obviously I didn't go all the way to California this year, but I was shocked. And this is anecdotal, so you can't judge an election by signs. There are all through Wisconsin, so we're talking western Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, all the way up through the Upper Peninsula, this traditional Union Democrat district, as well as northern Minnesota, has so many Trump signs. It's a forest of Trump signs. All the way down the west coast of Michigan, I saw very few Biden signs, and all Trump signs. Now, not doing a poll podcast. I am going to do probably the next podcast. I'm going to do the August roundup of the polls, and I want to wait until the next few polls come in from the battleground states. And I'm going to tell you, I don't pay any attention to the national popularity contest polls because they're meaningless. But I do pay attention to the battleground state polls. And I mentioned this in the last podcast. I was one of the first guys to say this. Now I notice that all of the penguins are saying this now. I said two polling podcasts ago, so that's now 60 days, I said, when they were all saying it's going to be a Biden landslide or it could be a Biden landslide, remember that? And I did a whole podcast that said, I looked at these battleground state polls and the evidence just wasn't there. And I said, first of all, they're going to tighten up. And then there was this whole period right before Biden asked the convention to nominate Kamala Harris. And you could see that Biden was leading in Florida. He was leading in Arizona. He was leading in Texas, so he had some really good numbers that were, I think, of grave concern to the Republicans, and it should have been. And I did a poll about that. You know, I did a podcast about those polls. And so the last time I looked, and this, again, I'm not doing a polling podcast in this podcast. I'm just going to give you a headline to think about, because the next podcast I do is probably going to be about polls. Maybe not. I don't know. But it will be soon. Trump is tied with Biden in Minnesota. That's the first thing. The second thing is they've tightened up in Michigan. They've tightened up in Texas. They've tightened up a little bit in Florida, which is still a problem for Trump. They've tightened up in Pennsylvania a little bit. Still Biden with a wide lead in Pennsylvania. They've tightened up in North Carolina. Trump is back in the lead in Georgia and in a couple of these other places. And they're definitely tightening up in Arizona. So I don't know what Trump's going to do at the Republican convention. I would have to say one of the questions that's going to come out of these conventions is, was Kamala Harris the right nominee for the Democrats? That's one question. The second question is, did Biden miss an opportunity for new thinking by just doing a litany of, sort of the Democrat catechism, in addition to saying, oh, things are awful because Trump is president? What's the response of Trump going to be? But I will tell you that the polls are tightening. And I will tell you again, based on what I saw, the Upper Midwest is great because as a bellwether in terms of its history of union, its history of working class, its history of being Democrat and voting Democrat, is so significant that when you see their full-throated support, so these are people that are, regardless of whatever has happened with Trump, are so strongly in favor of the president, whatever he has said or done, that they feel completely justified in putting the largest sign they can find on in their front yard. And their neighbors are doing the same. I was driving down, I think it was 28 in the Upper Peninsula. And this is one of the few Biden signs I saw. One guy had some small Biden signs on his side of the road. And then directly across, this other guy had like five giant Trump signs. And then this is another bellwether for me. When you drive through the farm district, a lot of these homemade Trump 2020 signs, which farmers are putting up. So remember all this talk about farmers are getting screwed, you know, union guys are getting screwed, Trump is doing this to you, Trump is doing that to you, and yet you go through these areas which are strongholds, and you've got to see a Trump signs, and many of them are homemade. I think that's significant. What does it mean? What's the significance of Trump? That's not what this podcast is about. I'm not doing that with the polling podcast. After the election, I'll talk about the significance of Trump, win or lose. I'll talk about the significance of Biden, win or lose. I do believe that the political parties are making themselves irrelevant. But beyond that, this election is not over, and what's happening is and I have to say this, much and many of the media outlets are so determined to dump on Trump for whatever reason, they have got people convinced that there's no way that he can win. People are shocked when you say, even now, people are shocked when you say, well, you know, earlier in the year, it didn't look very good. The path to victory for Trump didn't look very good. I would have to say now, it's looking better. And then when I do the polls, I'll let you know. But I don't think that we don't know how the vote is going to go. And, you know, what I'm looking for is I think this country needs a huge landslide victory one way or the other. And I will tell you right now, I don't think that's going to happen. And I think that in itself is problematic. When we talk about business, one of the things we talk about a lot is real estate. We talk a lot about real estate ownership and renting. And this is, right now, real estate is very hot. But in addition to that, the whole buying properties for investment is fraught with all kinds of issues right now because of the situation that we're still dealing with in terms of the pandemic. Let me talk about Brenda O'Connell. Usually she calls in, but I'm going to do a quick endorsement of Brenda because let me tell you something. If you want help with your investment properties, she really knows what she's doing. She knows how to find properties. She knows how to crunch out the numbers. She knows how to determine whether the value is there, show you a house, find a house, find and service tenants, and that is so important, and give property owners peace of mind. So here's what you do. She's online at auntiebrentals.com, or you can click on her banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. And keep listening, because I'm going to have Brenda on again in August to talk about how things are changing, perhaps getting better, perhaps getting worse. But what she's doing is managing these properties for clients and helping people who really want to leg up to develop wealth over time. If you're still employed and you're looking for houses to rent to build an investment portfolio of owning real estate, this is a person you really, really, really should talk to. Brenda O'Connell at the Realty One Group, auntiebrentals.com. Once again, you can call her at 651-600-7655. She doesn't care. She wants to talk to people, and she'll help you. She's awesome. And if you do get one of those properties and it's something that you want to develop, whether it's a office in the garage or a four season porch or a new bedroom, you know, suite or new bathrooms or new kitchens, Randy Grabo is the guy you want to talk to. Randy loves new kitchens, and maybe this year is the year that you will add the bathroom or the kitchen or the man cave. For that, you need a builder who's going to be with you every step of the way and is a great craftsman, and that is Randy Grabo at Whitetail Builders, Inc., whitetailbuildersinc.com. Contact page on their page. You can tell them what you're doing, or you can just call Randy at 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Call Randy and talk about your dreams, because he will be with you every step of the way when it comes to building those dreams and getting it down into a project that's got to be managed. This is the guy you want to talk to. Great builder, great craftsman, and the key word with Randy is integrity. 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Whitetail Builders at Whitetail Builders, Inc., or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. And I'm just going to very quickly say, and usually I don't do this many endorsements, but I'm going to do one more, and that is for DepoStar, which is the American manufacturer in Ramsey, Minnesota. Mark Korn, my friend, runs that company. There's a lot of people that are bringing their manufacturing back to the U.S. If you want to manufacture in the United States, in Minnesota, which we know has great workers, and I know DepoStar is focused on their customers and on doing quality work, don't forget DepoStar. Check them out online, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing at DepoStar.com. All right, I'm getting back from the walk. So again, we'll see what happens. I mean, this is such a perfect summer night, but I have been talking about other things. But now you understand a little bit about why I went to Michigan and why I wanted to go to that part of the country, just because I want to get a little idea of what's actually going on in that sort of core industrial working class area. Now, it's not so industrial anymore, but as I said in that podcast, you know, the upper part of the Midwest is like the fourth largest economy in the world. And we're talking Michigan, obviously, all of those states put together, plus the Canada trade. But this is still a significant economic area, despite this perception that it's the Rust Belt. Well, that was 50 years ago, and they have changed considerably, but the basic, you know, union working class approach to things is still significant up there. It's just the politics has changed significantly. So now you got a little primer, and we'll see what happens with the Republican convention coming up this week. Thanks for listening to podcast 948, the Bob Davis Podcasts. In the morning you go gunning for the man who stole your drag you by your feet, but the